We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, I praise you that your disciples would come to learn about your word and your way. Lord, I ask that you would guide the class and to guide me to have the right words, that our hearts would receive. And Lord, I am humbly just overwhelmed by the opportunity to speak to these wonderful people. Lord, please bless this class. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Review time. What do we have? Maybe I should go ahead and go backwards on the... So we'll go through last week real quick. So we had some people missing. Again, as I said, this is definitely part of, okay? Can't everything in the Apostles' Creed is something that is key to our faith. This particular part is a major sifter, if you will, something that really divides and separates who we are as Christians. You learned not long ago about the Trinity. That was earlier in this, right? We had God in three persons. Remember that? And everybody is pretty familiar with the Father and the Son, but somehow that spirit thing is like woo-woo. I don't get it, man. Like what? And I totally understand. I grew up in a church from diapers and still in at Haley and Jackson's age. I was like, what? Is this the ghost of Jesus haunting the church? What's going on here? I mean, I realize that I feel weird when the preacher says something that pertains to me. I realize that there's things happening and I have some strong feelings, but I don't know what this spirit thing is. So if you have those thoughts or if this is confusing, it's totally normal. I get it. A core tenet of the faith, the core of Christianity, is the Trinity, God in three persons. So when you learned last week, who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? That was important. That's big stuff. So without that, what we're learning this week doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? Anybody got, we're going to pull it up anyway, but show us how it's done. Correct. God, the Holy Spirit, that wording is purposeful like all the other wording is. God, the Holy Spirit, he is part of the Trinity. When we say the Holy Spirit, we don't mean ghost of Jesus. We don't mean weird woo-woo thing. We mean God here within us. So God, the Holy Spirit, comes alongside us and
convicts us, guides us, comforts us, and intercedes for us.
Yes, and that's pretty much in order how we interact with the Holy Spirit. Time-wise, personally, for most people, that's how it works. You get convicted, then you get some guidance, then you get some teaching brought in, and then he throws his hands up and says, "What are you doing, God, Jesus? Would you with this one?" But that's very good, very good. Is anybody working through that? Has anybody got any questions? It's totally like, I don't care how many times we've been over it, we'll go over it again if it's not a problem. And if you're thinking it, somebody else probably is too. Okay. All right, so the verse. Anybody remember the verse? It's totally up behind me, but let's read it together. Let's read it together. Layla. Okay, we're going to read this out loud together. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Time out. And who's my? Who's he? Okay. In my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 14, 26. I don't know why. I can never get the to you part. I just get to, you said all that I have said. And I'm like, well, you don't need to say anything after that, right? No, it's to you. Speaking to the disciples, letting them know the Holy Spirit. This is a promise, a prophecy. We talked about how Jesus says things and then they happen. That's how we know we can trust him. He said this is going to happen, then it happened. He said the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So my Father is going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to you in my name. He will teach you and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. All the prophecies that he told, all the teaching that he gave them, the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to come and remind them and make sure that they're staying on the path. We see that in the day of Pentecost. Book of Acts, if you're questioning how that worked out, just take a look. It's right in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I believe. Anyway, Holy Spirit, Helper, these are good words that go together. Is God here to trip you up, cause you problems? When he convicts you, is he here to make you sad, make you cry? Is that how God works? Because when we say convict, that's like, I don't like that, man. I don't like being convicted. That sounds like I'm a felon. Well, first of all, you are. But second, he's helping you. If somebody says to me, man, you're a jerk, I don't take that very well. If they say, excuse me, you shouldn't have acted like that, you really hurt her feelings. And she is made in the image of God. So you need to think about that and figure out how you're going to do better tomorrow. That's a helper. But also has convicted me that I did something wrong. So when we get conviction, we got to remember it's with love. He is trying to stop you from hurting yourself and others and turn you towards the path of Jesus, which helps you and will fill you with love for others.
If we're listening, yeah, what is that? Okay, just making sure.
Thanks. All right. And now we're going to go on to, when do we receive this Holy Spirit? Now, a lot of you, I think, probably missed the first part Scripture teaches. It's okay. But it is good to be reminded that, okay, who came up with this? Did Adam make it up? Did Paul make it up? Did, you know, somebody else just kind of, that seems nice. That'd be cool. Why don't we throw that? No, this is from Scripture. Scripture teaches that we receive the Holy Spirit fully and internally. Read that part. When we repent and follow Jesus. So, how do we repent? Turn, right. What made you decide to repent? Yes. What made you decide to repent? How did you get in your head, in your heart, that you were doing the wrong thing? Wait a minute. So there's like, I thought I got the Holy Spirit after. What about before? That was the Holy Spirit too, right? Well, yeah. But there's a difference here. There's me being a nice guy and seeing you and saying, hey, you seem like an all right dude. You probably shouldn't go down that alley. I was just back there and it's a mess and there's some bad guys back there and you're going to get robbed. It's going to be a bad deal. Don't go back there. I'm warning you. Maybe I think that you is going to go back there and maybe participate in some of the badness. It's not going to be good. Don't do that. I'm convicting you. Go the other way. But we're not family. We're not buddies. I am just seeing you as something that needs to be taken care of. And I'm trying to help you out. If he listens and starts taking a walk with me down the street in the right direction, then we become buds. And we start hanging out on the weekends. Yeah, we go out on dates with our girlfriends together. We're tight. That's receiving. We're part of. We actually receive the Holy Spirit into ourselves. So there's a, imagine us as kids, there's always in the cartoons, there's a little man on your shoulder talking. Okay, that's outside. That's the outside voice. Then there's the inside voice coming right from the heart, inside you. And that repentance, he doesn't live in a temple that's headed that way. He's headed in the right direction. So you turn that building around and start cleaning the place up, he's moving in. Okay. Anybody got anything on this stuff before we read this verse out loud? It's totally cool. Any questions at all? Did you almost get it, Reggie? No, not even. Okay. I'm glad that you're honest, sir. Or do you not know? Let's read it together. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. Yeah, that last part. What did they put that in there for, man? You are not your own. What's that? Any idea on what that is? Why that's got to be in there? You are not your own. What's that about? Yes, Porter. Good point. So that's very true. Right on. So we're created. We have a creator. So you didn't build yourself out of dirt. Second, everything that you have gained or think you have built is a gift. So therefore, your belongings, really gifts from God. This, I believe, is speaking more specifically to the first part of this. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Inside you. Holy Spirit. Outside, hey, maybe you should go that way. You should probably start listening. I start listening. He said, all right, I'm moving in. We're buds. We're family. We've talked a lot. There's a lot of talk already about adoption. Being sons and daughters, family, well, moving in. He's moving in. We're into his house. What's God's house? When we say, I'm going to the Lord, house of the Lord, where is that? Anybody? House of the Lord? Kingdom of the Lord, heaven. House of the Lord, church, correct. Now, at that time when they said church, they said synagogue or temple. But that's what they mean. Your body, God's church. When we think of the church, this building, whose is it? So, wherever God lives, that's his place now. When he moves in, he gets the deed. He doesn't rent anything. That's his. So the church is God's house. Who else does it belong to? Jesus. Okay. Holy Spirit. Got to complete the Trinity. All right. Anything else? Yes. The children of God. I mean, this place is for us too, right? So God lives here. We come here to worship, but also to fellowship. This place is a place to help God's children. So your temple is supposed to be with God's children as well. You should be helping, working with. You're not supposed to be temple over here. If nobody visits the temple, if the temple doesn't help anybody, like if you have a church that never does outreach, never tells anybody about the gospel, never helps anybody out that's in need, you got a lousy church, son. I'm not sure you call it a church anymore. So those carry over. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in those things and convict you if you're not doing them. It's inside you. And there's a whole lot of imagery from the Old Testament in the temple. God sits on. Where does he sit? Anybody know? What's his throne called? It's an old box. He's got a heavenly throne. He's got one on earth. Because we're talking about a temple. Temple's here on earth. Your body. But the temple in the Old Testament, what was in there? Ark of the Covenant. Some old box with some relics in it, right? A box with a couple rocks. That's the Ark of the Covenant. And it had some cherubim on it. And right above that was the presence of the Lord. And he sat on the mercy seat. That's what it was called. The Lord's mercy seat. And when we sing songs about the mercy seat, that's what they're talking about. The Lord sits above the Ark of the Covenant, the box that holds his laws, a cup of manna from the desert when he fed the people, and a chunk of Aaron's rod from when they did the miracles. He sits above that and is with his people. And that's how they get there. They bring the blood and sacrifices in for forgiveness. That's where the mercy's coming in. He's sitting there as a merciful judge, a merciful God, a God that comes down among his people. So this idea of God being with his people, it's not new. The new part is, because of Jesus, we don't have to go to a temple and we don't need new blood. We got Jesus' blood and the temple's right here. But we need to bring all those temples together and worship. So, with that said, let's do the lesson we're supposed to be teaching this week, which is the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. I think, even though we're running late on time, I believe you all have a copy of the Apostles' Creed in your books. Is that correct? Okay. I'm not sure I do, because it'll be really embarrassing if I say, I skip a line. It's totally embarrassing. But I think we should read the Apostles' Creed out loud together, because it's been a while, and that is what we're here to learn about, right? The Apostles' Creed. So let's start this together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right. So, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and then immediately, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Now, I don't have much faith in my little desk here. It took about an 8-inch drop in elevation while we were reading. Tighten that sucker up. There we go. Okay. Right off the rip, let's hit the word Catholic, because that's probably in the way. So we'll stomp on that real quick. So I'm sure somebody else has a phone that works. Anybody got a phone they can pull out for me? cellular device technologies. Pull out Google, type in the word Catholic with a little C. Definition, see what it says. You don't need one because they're going to read.
Wide variety of all things, all embracing.
All embracing, wide variety.
Her tastes are pretty Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you, that's how people talk. That ain't how people talk.
Mine says, of the Catholic faith or related to the historic doctrine.
You got a big C. Western Church. Okay. I got you, bud. That's okay. Because that was a big C. And these things matter. Little C, big C. When we read the Bible, when we see a big G or a little G, that matters a lot, right? Well, in this case, capital letters, vernacular, words matter. You got, you have a not capital C, the Holy Catholic Church. That's referring to the church as a whole, the whole variety, all the spectrum. Now, when we say holy, what do we mean? Harper, what do you got? Sacred. Excellent word. Love it. Can you explain a little bit what sacred means? Because sacred is like a synonym. So what does sacred mean? Special. It's about God. I like it. You've pretty much explained the whole thing. Yes. It's special. It's set aside. It's for God's purposes. It's not regular. It's not everyday. It's special. So something separate, apart. It's not for regular stuff, is for God stuff. So, holy, Catholic. We discussed that one. All encompassing, wide variety,
broad based.
Okay. All universal. Very good. Okay. All right, now church. How about that word? God's house. Who remembers the song?
The song?
Yep. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. Here's all the people. Yeah, you get it. Go like that with your hands, go, there are people. That's good stuff. I love that from Sunday school. So, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can remember either. You had to do the thing. Here's the steeple. Open the doors, and here's all the people. Yeah. So, anyway, I don't think I did that right, but it'll be all right. The point is, the church is the buildings, yes, but when we talked about temple earlier, that was a tent, then it was a great big fancy building, but when they said temple, where the Holy Spirit lives, where is that?
In us.
So the people, just like the little kid song, are the church, right? We, us, usins, make up the church. But that expands beyond this room. It expands beyond the church down the street. There's the Baptist church down the street. There's a couple Catholic churches. There's at least 8 or 9 different denominations just in the city of Piqua represented. But that also carries around the world, right? Do we not count people in Sudan or Ethiopia, France or Norway, you know, Brazil. These are all people in the church. They're part of the body of Christ. This also now starts to get a little bit more mind-stretching when we think about time. Paul, the apostle, planting churches in Rome or Macedonia or wherever else he wandered in Greece and Asia at the time. That's the church too. When he wrote the letters that we read in the book, Thessalonians, Philippians, Ephesians, those are letters to churches. All right, he planted a church, he leaves. Couple times he writes a letter and says, man, you're doing great, love you guys. Most of the time he writes a letter and says, I thought I told you, stick to the gospel, do what's right, act right. Do I have to tell you again? That's mostly what he has to tell them. But those are churches too. That's the church over time. That's our brothers and sisters. They're going to be there too. The new beginning, heaven and earth, when God brings heaven down and we all get together, they're going to be there too. From Noah to our grandma and grandpa and us and our grandkids, and right up to the day of judgment, all those people are the church. That's all of us, all time. Beginning to end, all those people in all those times. Now we have an even weirder aspect, which is heaven and earth. We read in Revelations about saints in heaven. There's people in heaven that are part of our church. Oh, this is a very wide-ranging. There's a whole lot of people involved. The big takeaway is it's all the believers. Now, I did say that understanding Holy Spirit was a big part of this. When we say Catholic Church, Big C, are they part of that? Because that is the question, right? Who do we count? Who counts? Who's in? Who's out? That's the big question. It's in your head. Like, well, then if like there's this great big church, which one's right? Because we all went this way, some went that way, we fought wars, we kicked people out, we nailed lists to the door. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's in? Who's out? Should I go to the church down the street and raise my hand up and tell the Pentecostals sorry guys, you're out, man. You don't get in, you're wrong. You don't do it my way. And then go down the street to the Catholic church, get the priest, tell them, hey, blow them candles out. You're wasting your time. Y'all should have come to my church, you would have got in. Is that how it works? We have to have open hand and closed hand. That's why we're learning the Apostles' Creed. What's in the creed is our creed. This is what we believe. This literally is how we say, oh, you know what? I don't agree with some or most of what you do, but we're still brothers in Christ. I don't agree with a lot of things that are taught in the Catholic faith. I don't agree with a lot of things that are taught in a Southern Baptist church either, even though I went there for years. I could go to my parents' Presbyterian church and have a fist fight with the hardcore Calvinists there. But the fact is that when we read the Apostles' Creed, we agree on these things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian God. You're on board with that? Okay. You believe in a Trinitarian God. Now, how do we get salvation? How do we repair this bridge, this gap between us and God? How do things get made right? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Okay, I'm on board. You and me, we're brothers in Christ. We're sisters in Christ. We're together. We're the church. You want to tell me about the 5 points of Calvinism or how the church history is more important than sola scripta? Whatever, dude. Okay. We'll fight about that. As long as we agree. Trinity, on the things that we just read, Virgin Mary died on a cross, risen again. We agree on those points? Good enough. You're the Holy Catholic Church, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as this church teaches, as I hope, as far as my brothers and sisters outside of this church would believe. Surely there's some that would condemn me, but I think the Holy Spirit eventually will convict them. So just waiting. You'd have to be more specific. A person that does not believe in that there's a God, or a person who's coming from a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness or something like that. Where are they coming from? You have to, okay. For starters, intercessory prayer would be good. And then invite them to church. Invite them, or just invite, you know, say, hey, you want to talk about these things? Now, if a person isn't open to these ideas, if they're combative, if they're like, no, I don't want to hear about this, I'm right, you're wrong, that's it, okay, you're not gonna convict them. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
What if they say, well, I'll go to your church if you go to my church?
All right. I mean, I've sat through some pretty horrible concerts before. Surely I can make it through your sermon. It'll be all right. Unless it's a Pentecostal church. I just don't have that much time. They're just, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, brother. 5-6 hours is, I'm out. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to make that trade. Yeah. And you might walk away with questions. Good, because the best thing you can have is those questions. If you go to the Bible, to somebody you trust, and find the answer. Uh-oh. He was the ref. He was in charge at the time. He could have just ended the game and been on time. Blow the whistle and be like, ah, you win. So that's where I leave it there. Yeah. Yeah. Invite them. And if they're only willing to do that on a trade, fine. I'll trade an hour of my time for you to perhaps find your way closer to the truth. That's worth it. Yeah.
I think what offends me most is they think I'm Mormon.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was 13, my dad was the stupidest person ever. And then 20 years later, he was a genius. It's just, that's the way it is. You can't be mad at them because they believe what they believe. You know? It's where they're at right now. I'm going to pray for them. If they're in any way willing to investigate further, cool. Bring it on. Come on over. Yeah. The best way to, if you're, we're not here to debate, and I'm not here to turn you into apologists. If you don't know what an apologist is, that's a person who specifically spends all their time studying to argue with people about the Christian faith, to do the Holy Spirit's job, convict people that they're wrong and that following Jesus is right. In today's world, that often takes the place of debates with a person who is an atheist, and specifically one who believes in a new world science belief system. Materialist is what we would call it. That's not our job here. We're not here to debate all day, people. But the best way to understand, to have an honest discussion is to truly understand the person, other person's viewpoint. So going to their place of worship would be a wonderful way to kind of get a vibe of where are they coming from? Why do they think this is the right thing? On the part of the Jehovah's Witnesses, I would just ask them to take a look at their own Bible and then take a look at their own church's website, which has the Greek translation. They have a Greek translation that almost all New Scripture is pulled from the Greek translation, our Bible, all the other Bibles, right? So they put the Greek verses on their website. Here's the Greek we translated from when we came up with our version of the Bible. Well, it's the same Greek we used. They just translated the words different. And you're like, that's not what that word means. It's translated directly in all the other Bibles the same way. And then here's you guys changing it up so it doesn't say Jesus when it says God. They always have Jesus with a little g. Why did you bother? Why did you go through all the trouble of changing all the translations so you could be right? I don't know. We're not going to get any more time on that one. Moving on. We're going to get to our answer. What is the Holy Catholic Church? The Holy Catholic Church is the whole community of faith in heaven and on earth. God's family, the body and bride of Jesus. It is the temple of, oh my gosh, like last week, we just talked about that, temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that works apparently on multiple levels. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. When we all come together, we're like, what was that show in the 80s with the cast? They all stuck together and made a bigger, better robot? Nobody?
What was it? The show that did what?
Where it was like a cartoon and there was all like warriors, but when something big came up, they'd all stick together and make the super robot. I forget what that was called, but. No.
It wasn't Transformers.
No.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Power Rangers.
No. Voltron. Bingo. Voltron, yeah. It's like that. When the church comes together, it's still the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think we would agree that when we all come together, it's more powerful. Yeah. Anything here that pops out crazy to you? Question? What are we talking about that doesn't make sense? The Catholic Church is the whole community of faith. So again, a community, brothers and sisters, neighbors. Who's my neighbor? Does that ring a bell? Yeah. Community of faith in heaven and on earth.
I don't have a tissue
to give. Yeah, go grab one. God's family, again, we're returning to adoption, family, place at the table. If the Holy Spirit is within us, lives within us, then we're part of the family. We're in. God in us, we are in God. God's family. The body and bride of Jesus. This is pointing us to teaching of the New Testament. This is throughout the New Testament, this is an image that we continually go back to. The body of Jesus the bride of Jesus. The church is the body of Jesus, all his followers, Holy Spirit in us, coming together forms the body of Jesus. When we say hands and feet of Jesus, what does that mean?
We're doing his work,
okay? Because we're his body. We're also looking at, I'd like to read a passage that specifically speaks to this and is why the body is given in this answer. We're looking at 1 Corinthians, one of those letters to the churches, the church like us, the Catholic Church. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. Fairly long passage, so I'm going to read fast, but we're looking at key words like body. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink one Spirit. Oh, you mean like the Spirit's inside of us? Okay. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That was a lot. I think we should focus on body, part of a body. Hands, feet, nose, eyes. So that goes for same denomination, different place, different denomination down the street. We need them too. They might see something that we don't. As long as they're part of the community of faith, good. We need that. It also goes for the members of this church. We're all different. Tiffany can do things I could never do. She has experiences and knowledge, skills that I don't have. Harper can talk to people I could never talk to. There's a whole lot of young ladies your age that if I walk into the room and tell them, hi, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, I would just be that scary beardy guy, go away, get out of here. I'm running to find my friends or my teacher or whatever. You have special capabilities, whether you're physically capable, whether you speak well, work well, maybe you just have an open heart and people recognize that they can talk to you. Whatever that is, it's important. God gave you that for a reason. You're part of the body for a reason. Nobody can say we don't need that part of the body. All right, moving on to bride. For some guys, that gets, you're like, whoa, from what? No, that's weird. The image here is, first of all, a bride is prepared and special, set apart. my oldest son's getting married this week. They have been planning for months what she's going to wear, how she's going to look, what she's going to do before, during, and after the wedding. The whole day is about her and her being ready and meeting her groom. That's what we are doing here. That's what the church is doing. We are preparing to meet our groom, Jesus. We're becoming ready, becoming holy, setting ourselves apart. We choose one, you choose one, right? Forever. That's the image of the bride and groom. You're going to be together. You complement each other. When we do a wedding service, we say two become one. Sometimes we say a threefold cord, right? There's three in the image. When two become one, if we're the body of Christ, if I'm married to my wife, two are one. We become one. So it's the same image here. We are the bride. We become one with the body of Jesus. It all just layers and layers and layers of we're here to make ourselves ready for Jesus. When he comes back, brings the kingdom, and we're in it because we're already citizens in the community of faith. All right. We covered temple, so let's go on to our key verse, which I will say is shorter than last week's. So let's go through this one. Let's read this out loud together. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Yeah.
Maybe the concept of aliens back then.
This means aliens as in not of this kingdom. We're talking about household, kingdom. You're probably too young to remember the term illegal alien, but that is what we're talking about. People that are outside the kingdom. Well, sure. What we got here? No longer strangers and aliens. No longer outside the kingdom. You're inside the kingdom. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This might mess you up a little bit. Which one are you? With the saints or the members of the household of God? Yeah. Both. Both. Because that's what we're covering next. These two are, this verse could have been used for the second question this week. What is the communion of saints? We don't have much time left, but that's okay because everything we've been talking about already pertains to what is the communion of saints. We talked about the church Catholic. I got all my papers for writing the verses again and again stuck in the way. All right. The communion of saints is simply taking the church Catholic and shrinking it down to us-ins. Us. That's the communion of saints. The community church. The church as a community, singular, small, our little group of followers who come together. This is our special body of Christ, our special little bride of Christ that we are a part of in and out every week. So, We're going to introduce a couple little new things in today's answer. For the second question, what is the communion of saints? I would like to read this one together out loud. And I think are you busy hurriedly writing it down? All right, let's read it and then write it. The communion is the local manifestation of God's family unified around the word and sacraments to bring Jesus' kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, those words are familiar. We can remember that part, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so the local manifestation of God's family unified, the local manifestation of the Church Catholic is us, this church, your church family. Unified, what brings us together? The Word. Okay, and that's capital W, so it has two connotations. One, the Bible, the Word of God, and the Word as in 1 John 1, and the Word was with God. So that's Jesus, focused around Jesus and the Bible and sacraments to bring Jesus' kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So, I think we're good up to here, sacraments. What's sacraments? Anybody? Bunch of slackers. In a way, yes. The sacrifice is a part of the root here. But when we say sacraments, we mean, what do you do when you receive the sacraments? Anybody? We do it at least once a month here, sometimes twice. Communion. When we say the communion of saints, it's not an accident that communion is called communion. We come together, right? Sacrament is baptism, communion, marriage. These are the sacraments of the church. So we are focused around Jesus, His Word, and sacraments, which are the things that bring the holy into our little place to make them manifest, because that word's in there too. Make manifest big things, make them approachable, reachable. At no time are we more together than when we take communion together. So that's what that word means. Communion is the root word for community. And we are trying to bring Jesus' kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, we'll be focused on the Word, the sacraments, which are images of how things work in heaven, are not really going to be necessary because they'll be right there, heaven on earth. But that's what we are to focus on now. That's also why we're a bride preparing. We're not actually married. We haven't been to the wedding. That's when Jesus brings the kingdom. So bring Jesus' kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to get you to the verse. I know you're getting jealous of those slackers that leave early. So let's get to the verse. This is a good one. A little bit longer though. But it doesn't have the word manifestation in it. So, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:24. Again, words about the kingdom coming. That's the day drawing near. That's the wedding day, metaphorical. That is Jesus' kingdom, coming to heaven. That's the day. So we're looking forward to it. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We come to communion. We're supposed to come together. We're not supposed to be off by ourselves. We're supposed to be in community because we need each other very badly in order to stir up one another to love and good works, to encourage each other, to find ways to express Jesus' love. That's why it says we need to meet together, as is the habit of some. Some do try to go off on their own. We encourage them to come back. The longer that you spend in the communion of saints, the more you will recognize the pattern that those that go on their own, I can do my, me and Jesus got this figured out. That's a country song. We're going to go out in the woods. Me and Jesus worked it out. I don't need your church. Well, it just doesn't last, man. You need those other people. You need to be Jesus to them. They need to be Jesus to you. You need to forgive them. They need to forgive you. They need your encouragement. They need your prayer. You need theirs. We're part of a body. That was the whole focus of the last section, right? A body. We're members together. Hands, feet, ears, noses, eyes. If the eye decides to take off on its own, it don't last very long. So that's why we need to come together. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Anybody got questions, concerns? Continue to read the creed. I know Reggie, you've already done your Hope Project. Anybody else got plans? You've definitely been working on the plans, right? You've been thinking on this. You've probably got a date in mind. You're going to get back to me or the contact on the list probably this week sometime. That was probably how it was going to go. I know you've reached out to me. I will probably have something coming up. It always does, especially this time of year. As the weather changes, there's definitely something's going to break, always. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's nothing. I don't know. I know where they're right now. They're all in Dayton, one in Cincinnati, two in Dayton, one in Cincinnati, one in Springfield. I don't know what they have the next month. And I know that the PICWA dates are all in like February. So it'll work out on the rotation. We'll go through our ministry rotation. And then next time when we have Hope Projects, it'll be easy peasy. Go down the street, put shoes on kids, man. Yeah. But yes. Yes, I don't see why not. You take it upon yourself to come up with your own project and it's certainly valid, then yeah. Yeah. Accredited, I think, is the term. We